Good evening. This is W2TTT. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic before we start the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet? Please call W2TTT. Okay, nothing heard. Let's begin. Good evening. This is Gordon, W2TTT. The station is K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, the amateur radio station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. We run this net every Thursday night at the wonderful hour of 9 p.m. for the discussion of topics related to amateur radio. Topics related to amateur radio are by definition technical topics, so pretty much anything is fair game. If you don't understand it, we can explain it here, or we can take a note to try to figure it out next time, or maybe later in the net, because we have wonderful people who check in and give us their insights. You know, you can jolly well come up with your question. It's wonderful. If we can't answer it, or we don't think it's appropriate, we'll tell you. But my guess is that we've pretty much entertained just about anything that's been thrown at us, however well, however poorly. It's a pretty informal net. What we do is we take your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. Now, we encourage you to check in even if you don't have a question or a comment, because, number one, sometimes the mere presence of somebody on the net sparks an interest in a topic. Somebody may have said something. You may have said something to somebody that you may not think is a question, but might be something that is not only a question, but a really a good, important thing for other amateurs to know, even if they're more experienced, or less experienced, as the case may be. So, with that in mind, we're going to take check-ins, starting with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment. We will start tonight with the W. Stations with a W in their call, please call K2BAR.
Whiskey India 2 Whiskey, Steve, no questions.
Good evening, Steve, WI2W. This is, by the way, I've done more talking during the introduction of this net than I have in the last 2 days combined, because I'm kind of fighting a tickle and a chest cold and a head cold, so I'm thoroughly drugged, but not really capable of coherent thought, but I'm doing my best. In any case, good evening to you. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
Yeah, Gordon, I'm just going to be listening tonight. I've got something else I'll be doing. But if somebody needs me for something, give a shout, and I'll try to get back to the radio.
Okay, we may actually ask at one point that you, let us know if there's any satellite passes like you did the other night. That was a couple weeks ago. That was kind of cool. And also what you intend to bring, if anything, to the auction in a week. We're going to talk a little bit about the auction. All right. Let's go on. Any other whiskey stations, please call K2BAR. Okay. Any November stations, please call K2BAR.
This is NJ1W, Dave. No questions.
Good evening, Dave, NJ1W. Any other November stations?
NS2K, Jim, no questions.
NS2K, good evening, James. You have no questions? Comments, confusions? Okay. Any other November stations?
N3CRT, I've got a slew of comments.
N3CRT with a slew of comments. By the way, I copied you to a note to AB2XW, I think it was. And, I don't know if he was referring to this net or the Aries net, but he got all excited about a conversation I had on a recent repeater. I don't know if it was 895 or here, but in any case, if he can hear the net but can't get in, he may be texting you or emailing you during the net, so watch your mail, Charlie. Alrighty. The way I'm set up, I actually can't watch mail while I'm doing this. I can use a computer, but I don't have a computer with the mail in front of me, which is probably a good thing. All right. Any other stations with a November, please call K2BAR. stations. Any alpha stations? This is K2BAR. Alrighty. And last but not least, the killer kilos. Any kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KF2ID, Ben with a question.
Good evening, Ben. Got your question. Anybody else?
KC2KXV with a question. Benny.
Richard, no questions or comments.
Okay, I think I got two stations in there. KC2KXV, boy, I was thinking of you today. I have a question for you, Vinny. Oddly enough, about your that mini tower you have. So maybe you let me know about that, either on the net or via an email. And who was the other station with the Kilo Charlie? I didn't know who it was. This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. Richard, no questions or comments.
Okay, Richard, got it. Good evening, KC2PYB. Any other Kilo stations?
K2AMI, Tony.
Good evening, Tony, K2AMI. You have a question or a comment?
Easy question.
Okay, an easy question. We're going to put your question at the top of the list then, just because. Alrighty. Anybody else with a check-in, please call K2BAR. Any call signs?
Whiskey 2 Delta Tango Alpha.
Wow, Tony, W2DTA. K2BAR. Good evening. You have a question or comment?
Just hanging, joining the net support.
Oh, it's so nice to hear you. Very good. Okay. Anybody else, please call K2BAR. Questions, comments? Okay, last call. Any stations wishing to check into the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, please call K2BAR.
KA2BDU, Helmut. No question.
Good evening, Helmut. Okay. K2BDU. Alrighty, I think we're going to call it square there. I'm going to take the easy question. I think we're going to go to Mr. Ben. And I'm hoping Vinny's not time-challenged, because Charlie's got a whole bunch of comments. So we'll try it in that order. K2AMI, your easy question, sir, from K2BAR.
Hi, Mark. Long Island Amateur Radio Association, I guess it's called. The Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Association. They have a ham fest coming up. Is it this weekend? That's it.
Ooh, these are trick questions. Okay. Someone can, let's see, Limark. I can Google a Limark, so I will go look at that for you and see what we find. Yep. I found their, I just saw a reference to their ham fest. So, yes. It is, let's see when it is. We have a date. February 24th, Sunday, at 9 a.m. for buyers, at 7 a.m. for sellers.
Thank you very much.
It's at the Levitt Town Hall, the large indoor location, it says here. And my guess is that talking will be on 146.85, would be my guess. The PL is 136.5 for your benefit. One other thing, there will be VE testing at 10 a.m. And they have the usual assortment of ham radio, CB, computers, television, various dealers, a VHF tune-up clinic, which is kind of neat. Get your rig checked out, AWR information, and Limark information. Alright, it ends around noon to 1, meaning that people are packed up and gone by noon, pretty much, except for, like, the dregs. So get there early and often. Alrighty, I think we've addressed that. Anybody have any follow-ups on the Limark Hamfest this Sunday? Please call K2BAR. Okay, I'll just add a note. There is a meeting of the Berkeley County FM Association, the humble sponsor of this repeater and also the 443 and 444 100 machines. And I believe that meeting is at 7:30, also at the Red Cross building where we're all familiar to meet. It is this Sunday, and it should be a grand time. It's the annual meeting. It's essentially a pro forma business meeting, but there's some exciting announcements about some new repeater gear that's being assembled for one of the sites anyway. So stand by for that. There's also a Chestnut Ridge Radio Club dinner on Sunday, for those who are members of that club. And that should be fun as well. And what else? I think that's it for Sunday. I think we've kind of beaten the desk for Sunday. We've got three ham radio things in one day. That's pretty cool. And I do believe, and I may be wrong, but isn't there an event out in Morris County? Isn't the Morris Radio Club having a ham fest or a flea market on Saturday? Is that this weekend, Tony?
I don't know, but if you want me to try to Google it, I want you to Google it and find out.
Looking. I don't see their ham fest handy. I'm at their website, but I don't see their ham fest. But, Noel Sheffin, probably shoot a note to him. We will see. No, they have a meeting on Monday, so I doubt they have a ham fest on Saturday. Anyway, I know that comes up at this time of the year. It's February or March, something in that general time frame. So it's something to think about. Let's see what else. I think that's all I have. I don't sure I see anything on their activity calendar, so I guess I just spoke out of turn. Alrighty. For our next question, we have Mr. Ben, KF2ID.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, then I got a question about a tool. Now, what I'm trying to do is to do work on the 300-ohm television line, transmission line. And the problem is getting the insulation off so I can solder to it, make taps along the line. I have a difficulty with it. I use a razor blade, and I'm always cutting the copper, and it's always a pain in the neck. I've tried hot soldering iron on it. That helps somewhat. Sort of gooky. But NL2T gave me a good idea. He said he used a tool made out of a nichrome wire, which he heated up and then cut off the insulation that way. Now, before I start trying to make something like that, I thought, I wonder if there's anything can be purchased. Now, I know people cut these nylon cords, or rather nylon line, with a hot wire so that you cut right through the line and you seal it at the same time. Sounds like that might work. The only problem is I don't know where to get it. So if anybody knows of how I could get something like that commercially without having to bother building it, if it's just a few bucks, it's not worth spending the time running around finding nichrome wire and stuff like that. If that, I don't know where it's available. Anybody got any ideas, I'd be happy to hear it, or any similar ideas.
Okay, so your desire is to take the insulation off of coax?
No, something like TV, a lateral line, not coax, a lateral line. Coax, I know how to do. That's not such a big deal. But lateral lines, I think it's a 300-ohm television line or some any other kind of lateral line. Just strip the insulation off it someplace along the line where I want and be able to solder to it. I can do it, but it's a big deal with me. I don't know. I've tried to use razor blades, and it's eventually gets done, but it's more effort than I think it should be.
Well, I use something. I'm going to pass it around here, but what I do is I use a really nice utility knife with a sharp blade. I girdle it carefully, and then carefully just go to shave one side to open it up to the metal gingerly, and then just peel it off with my fingers, and I'm done. Takes me a minute, you know, 30 seconds. I can do it pretty quickly. Whether it's 400 online or whether it's 300 or whether it's even 300 and jacketed and insulated, you know, I mean, and shielded. You can pretty much do it the same way all the time. That's pretty much how I do it. Does anybody else have a technique for this? Please call K2BAR. Well, Ben, you're stuck with my solution or one of the ones you don't like already. Okay, does anybody know anything about that tool, that hot wire tool that they use to cut through nylon line? Does anybody know where I can get it? I'd like to try that. I have a feeling that would work beautifully. Most of the ones I've seen are homebrew, but there's one that looks amazingly like a 200 or 250 watt soldering iron that has a you know, it's like a gun, it's like a Weller gun, except it's got a blade on it that is a sharp band across the two contacts, and so you could use that. But I think to some degree you're not going to like that any more than you like using the soldering iron now. Now what you could do is if you have one of those, you know, dual, you know, anode kind of solder guns, you know, where, you know, it comes out and then loops back to itself to another electrical contact, you could take one of the existing blades or bits, open it up, you know, on a vise or something, and then just pound the end of it flat to be sharp, or even put it on a grinding wheel to sharpen it up to get a sharper tip, which is all that is, and then stick it back in the gun. And that's essentially what a rope cutting gun or rope cutting blade is. If you're using, you know, like cutting climbing ropes or marine ropes or things like that. MS2K, go.
Yeah, MS2K. Yeah, I generally just use some number 12 solid wire in my best Weller. That works just fine. But one of the things you could do to make a wire-cutting version of it is just take a piece of the number 12. If you wanted, you could take, you know, part of it and just pound it with a hammer, you know, and a vise or anvil to make it thinner. You know, you could shave it, you could just, you know, flatten it out, at which point it makes a fairly nice cutting tool. I've just used the blunt side of, you know, the side of it, not the tip where I've got a tin, but, you know, going the other way is actually quite a bit nicer, and it'll leave a nice fused end on the rope, whether it's nylon or Dacron or, you know, polyester or whatever. Works just fine.
That's pretty much what I use. Yeah, I would just take the end of the blade, you know, the element, and pound it out. If you just thinking this through a little bit more, Ben, if you have a piece of number 12 copper weld where it's got a steel core, you can pound that end of the loop really, really flat and get a really sharp edge out of it, and that'll help you scrape away the insulation off of your ladder line. I think that's really what you're trying to do.
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Don. I've got you in here.
Yeah, that's okay, Gordon. This is W2JEK. What type of thing they've heard people doing is taking a razor blade and bolting it into the loop of the normal soldering gun tip like that. And the razor blade, and of course you operate the soldering gun, and the razor blade being bolted to the tip gets hot. That's a possibility too.
Yeah, I think that would work very well, actually. If you used small bolts that were roughly the size of the element and drilled out a razor blade and just shove them all the way in there and then you know, they have set screws to hold them down, so essentially you use set screws to hold the screws in. That would hold the edge of the blade against the two elements, and it would be nice and tight. You might not have to, if you use a traditional blade, by the way, and got it really, really tight drawn in, maybe with a washer or something on top, you can probably do it without even drilling the blade itself, which would make work a lot easier. But if you get a traditional, you know, twin blade, you know, where they're not stacked one on top of the other, but they're opposite each other, traditional twin blade, showing my age here, then that might work for you as well. Anybody else with anything before I give it back to Ben?
M3CRD.
KC2AWS. They make commercial units like that. That's made for Teflon wire. That's what you heat up the Teflon with and strip it. So, and they're not expensive. They're about $15, I think. And all through the electronics industry, they use it, even in Europe. KC2AWS.
What's a good point, Harvey? Charlie?
Yeah, I'm taking notes on our website here, baratechnet.ning.com, but I had a suggestion for Ben. If he's looking for a good kind of primer on nichrome wire and calculating the resistance and calculating how much voltage you need, there will be a link on the website there after the net is over. I'm actively taking links, or making links and notes and trying to keep up the best I can. But if you go to Google and you type in nichrome wire, the first link that comes up is the one I'm talking about. It's www.heatersplus, H-E-A-T-E-R-S, plus, P-L-U-S, of course, heatersplus.com/nichrome.htm. So this will be in our notes. But it's a really nice web page. You can buy the stuff from the folks, but if you can get it otherwise, it does tell you how to calculate the heat you need and the resistance and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really good one. N3CRT back to the net.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, very good. And that's one more time, Charlie. The website is.
Say that last part again. My speakers on my computer were yelling at me for something.
TechNet website is?
Okay, it's baratechnet, just all one word blended together there, baratechnet.ning, like November, India, November, Gulf, .com, baratechnet.ning.com, and we'll have the notes up here in a little bit. I'm actively pounding them out.
Yeah, that's the official, unofficial site of the Baratechnet. I have to check in. I'm signing in right now, Charlie. I haven't done that tonight. I apologize. So, we'll get that squared away. And let's see what else. I think that's about it for that topic, I think, unless someone else has something else to add. So, anybody else have something to add on the subject before we hand it back to Ben? K2BAR.
W-A-2-C-A-I, I just want to sign in.
Go ahead, W-A-2-C-A-I, got it. Thank you very much, Mr. Tom, you're in. And anybody else with a comment?
Yeah, KC2AWX. I got your email about that Boy Scout book, but you didn't say where a person could buy it. That's my little thing.
Any of the common bookstores will more than likely handle it. Amazon.com will, I'm sure, Borders, and... Well, if you go into Borders or Barnes & Noble, you might have to ask for it. They probably have it behind the counter next to the penthouse. You have to think about how bookstore people think about books like that.
What are you looking for, Gordon? What book?
Governor Mike Perry's book on the values of scouting, essentially.
Okay. No, I was going to say, if you're looking for Merit Page book, Ramsey Outdoor has it.
So noted. Although, they have to keep things up to date a bit more, but that's a whole other matter. All righty. Mr. Ben, back to you. KF2ID, K2BAR.
Okay, there are a nice number of suggestions. I'd like to know where I might purchase that cutter that KC2AWX mentioned. He mentioned that was one available for $15, and so he, you know, where do you get it? Is it the local store someplace?
Yeah, I've seen it in Radio Shack. But the people have no idea what they have. You actually have to look through their catalog or walk around the store and tell them what they have. It's actually called a wire stripper. And that's quite easily to be made. I used to use two D batteries and a piece of this thin wire paper clip, and heat that thing up, and it worked pretty nice. You have to, you know, improvise.
Okay, Ben.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you. I think I'll be saying 99 now. KF2ID saying 73 store.
Okay, well, you take care, and keep in mind tomorrow's going to snow. If you're going to shovel snow, gentlemen, get out early. Do it in pieces. Do it before the rain hits it, because otherwise it becomes, you know, just walking heart attack material. Do it in two or three stints rather than go out and do it all at once, or God forbid at the end when it's a big, lazy, wet, mucky mess. That's when we get heart attacks. We don't want that. Okay? That's my public service. Oops, sorry, that was my public service announcement for tonight. Charlie, are you keeping the sign-in logs, or am I doing that? I've kept it on paper. I can email it off to you if you'd like.
Yeah, I think I've got everybody here, and then maybe I'll just verify with you at the end. But yeah.
Thank you for being a helpful resource in this regard. Alrighty. I think that Mike is no longer recording a lot of things, not just us. I think somehow or another, I think his little recording thing at amateurradio.tv has kind of come to a grinding halt. I wonder if something has happened to him. So we need to find that out in the next couple of weeks as well. I've not heard anything back from my email. So I'm glad this Ning site is rocking and rolling. Barotechnet.ning.com. So, alrighty. Our next question of the evening is for KC2KXZ. Mr. Vinny, how are you? And this is our first QSO since I have joined the ranks of the old farts. I'm now 50.
Well, congratulations, Gordon, on being 50. I was that a couple years ago, and I wish I could say it was fun. Best thing to do is try to forget it, but I'm glad you went through it. I'm glad to be on tonight. It's most of the time I'm traveling during this part of the week, so I've got a philosophical question that I think has been asked quite a number of times about the vertical antennas.
Is it philosophical or religious now? I mean, you talk about vertical antennas, my God. I mean, low angle takeoff, great for DX, all the signals going all the directions at the same time, therefore equally poorly. Oh, sorry. That's not quite true either. But anyway, so now that I've thoroughly confused and confounded you, what is your question?
Well, the first question is where to get some stainless steel mass to indeed build a vertical antenna from scratch on the ground, ground supported with radials. And then the second question is the religious question. Is there any advantage on 40 through 160 60, and in fact touch on 20 meters on whether this is much of an antenna over a Yagi antenna. And the reason for that is where I would put it, everything I've put up has been blown down by the wind, including 15 foot worth of mast that bent like a pretzel about 3 months ago.
Okay, let me first address something you didn't ask, and that is the use of stainless steel material as a radiating element. They have a higher radiation resistance than aluminum. I know why you want to use it. I can tell you you can find aluminum that will work better and fine and not bend. So, assuming that you want to go down the road of a vertical antenna, which is fine, by the way, and assuming that you can get a stout enough piece of aluminum to do the job you want, which you can also do, the next thing is to decide what kind of vertical you want to do. Now, I'm just thinking an 80-meter, 160-meter, or even a 40-meter vertical, methinks you're going to load it. What's your preference, Punky?
How about base loading? And I see a lot of charts for, you know, a 40-foot, 43-foot antenna and having that work on 160 as well. Has anyone had any experience with something that tall?
I'm looking for volunteers on that one. I will tell you what I'm going to do shortly. I worked it out just the other day. But I have a different approach to the game for vertical. Anybody have any experience with base-loaded verticals for 40 or 80 or 160?
V2JEK.
It has some pretty good technical information, and you could also buy aluminum tubing and stuff from them. W2DTA.
I got most of what you said, Tony, and then we're going to go to Don. What was the source, Tony?
It's dxengineering.com.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Don, over to you, W2JEK, W2TGT.
Yeah, okay, it's W2JEK. Yeah. One thing that Tony maybe didn't mention is the fact that there are certain sizes of aluminum tubing that slip in together, so you can get a start out with, say, an inch and a half, and go to an inch and an eighth, and an inch and a seven-eighths, and so on like that. They're such that the diameters are just right in one nesting into the other. That's one thing you look for. My experience with vertical, number one vertical I had was a, let me drop it a second.
K2GCL, repeater.
My first vertical that I had was a 40-foot vertical made of rain spout. And we used a loading coil at the base and it was connected all the time between the seven radials that we had at that time and the antenna. It was made of copper tubing. And we had two taps on that, one for 20 meters and one for 80 meters. And then we had another arrangement, and this was all with knife switches out at the base of a series capacitor for 40 meters. In other words, it's a little long for 40 meters, so you use a series capacitor, and then the other band you need a loading coil. And that seemed to work quite well. And my other antenna is, right now, I have a 20-meter vertical mounted on my roof. And one thought I have on that is that a lot of people complain verticals are poor, but you can't mount it nested down inside of a bunch of houses that are built with aluminum siding and all kinds of pipes and ducts and everything. And expect them to work well. You've got to have them up in the clear. And I like my ground plane on the roof very much. So, it's just a mono bander, but it works like a charm. Back to that, W2JEK.
And what band is that for?
That was a 20-meter vertical It's on, I'm going to say it's mounted on the roof.
That's delightful. Okay. Let me address the practical side of the aluminum business before we hand it back to Vinny. Vinny, quarter-inch wall aluminum, my guess is you weren't using that. If you were, I'd like to know what diameter you were using. The point about telescoping elements is spot on, and you should definitely consider that. The other possibility is making sure that you, you know, go to a place. Dick's Engineering will have a ready-to-go kind of answer, but I'm thinking that Texas Towers, the owner of Texas Towers is a bit of a an antenna buff, to say the least. And so what he's designed over a period of years is a Gerald K5 Gita. He has purchased sections of aluminum masting that will telescope, and if you talk to him, I think he even has quarter-inch wall. So that's something to think about as well. There's also a local place here in Long Island that I bought some thin wall aluminum from that I happen to know sells fatter stuff as well. I could probably go and look it up for you. I have a bunch of half-inch aluminum tubing I bought to repair my 6-meter Yagi, my 10-element 6-meter Yagi. And so that's going to be a spring project. Whether or not I rotate it ever or not, it's going to go back up on the roof and probably sit pointed toward Europe. I think that's my plan at this point. Just to let it sit there, have an instant, either European, either that or leave it up toward New England, just poke it there and be done with it. But it's all doesn't matter. It all has to do with whether or not I can swing it, whether or not I want my cars defecated on by pigeons. So in any case, that's the scoop on that. You might consider that. And when you get a chance, tell me about that tower. You can do it offline if you want. We can talk about that some more. Now, I have one more thing. The other thing I wanted to mention was what I'm going to do for a vertical here. I sat here thinking one day, reading about somebody's, you know, 2-meter copper cactus, and I'm going, 2-meter, 20-meter, 2-meter, 20-meter, 40-meter, what the hell? How big is it for a J-pole? So I said, it's not too big. It's about 49 feet for 40 meters for the big element, and about, 16 feet, I think, if I remember right, for the short element. I said, how can we build that? And I looked at the side of my house. There's a piece of Run 25 sitting there. And kind of in keeping with Don's point of getting it up off the ground, I have this 20-odd foot mast that's sticking out the top of the tower. It's got another antenna on it, but that's really not, you know, I mean, that's really not part of the equation, I don't think, but even if it is, it's all better. So I said, gee, why don't I just simply, let me make sure I drop it. Why don't I make a simple J-pole element? It's got to be about a foot and a half, or actually 1.6 feet offset from the tower. And I can have my short little J-element and feed it with a piece of coax. And I will have the biggest 40-meter J-pole you could ever did see. And I can get it off the ground because I already have, you know, 45-foot tower and 20 feet of masting, so... that plus whatever the effect is of the antenna on top, electrically shortening the whole mass, will give me a beautiful elevated J-pole on 40 meters. No radials. Life is good. Of course, we had a discussion recently about whether or not you have radials or not on J-pole, and we can get into that, but that has to do with the choke. We got that conversation with the current choke, but even so, we can do that. That's easy. So, that's kind of where I'm going with my little world. So, KC2KXV, it's always a pleasure to hear you. I'm glad you're not traveling this week. W2TTT, K2BAR, sorry.
Roger, Gordon, that's a pretty sharp idea, doing a 40-meter J-pole.
That's something to watch. Jeez, it'd be great to build one of those. You'll build it, I know. I don't know if I can build it. One other follow-on question is, if I didn't base load it with a coil and put a ballum down there and then ran about 100 feet of RG8 back into the shack, how much loss is that 100 feet going to get before the ballum? And if you're running 500 watts, is that something that's just going to have a lot of SWR heading back into the shack? Over.
Yeah, I would think you would. You know what? Get yourself a coil. You know, there's another approach you could take to this, and that would be something like an AH4, loading up, you know, an aluminum mast of whatever length you can, and just screw some radials around, and you're done.
Roger. Yeah, that's the ICOM electronic tuner, right?
Yeah, you can use the AH3 too. I think the AH3 will actually 2160.
Roger, that limit you to what, 100 watts?
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, there are other solutions of that type from other manufacturers that will handle more power.
Roger. I putting up a tower or a Yagi up where I'm up there with the winds that are 50 and 60 miles an hour sometimes just doesn't seem to work, and this may be an interesting way to go. So good suggestions. Be interested later in learning where in New Jersey you can pick up that aluminum stuff, because closer and shipping is probably better. Comment?
Good comment. Then I have one more, now that I realize you're putting this in Dutchess County and not on your apartment building.
This is M3CRT. 100 feet of RG8 let's see, 3.8 megahertz, let's say. I don't know what band you were doing, but it's 0.4 dB. RG8 at HF frequencies, you can do just fine with it. Now, the difference between a beam and a vertical is you can get more gain back out of a beam. So, you know, use an okay coax. Don't feed it with RG58. You know, go with the eight. That'll be good. N3CRT.
Comment.
Comment. Go.
It's just WHSCAI. Before I fall asleep, I wanted to comment on sliding aluminum tubes together. If you guys are buying aluminum tubes and sliding it together, please use some sort of lubricant between the pieces. They do cold weld together after about 6 months. You'll never be able to separate it. And if this is a portable arrangement, you won't like it. So use some lubricant between the aluminum tubes when you slide them together. And if you can break the seal every couple of months, rotate them so they don't weld together on their own, you'll be a lot happier. Also, the only reason you have RG8 for HF is power handling abilities if you're running a legal limit. Otherwise, the loss is so negligible that RG58, I've never found it to be a problem on HF, except when I run too much power through it and melt it.
K2GCL repeater.
Yeah, certainly for limited runs on 80 and 50, 80, 40, 160, I think it's fine. 20, I would gently disagree with you. We're starting to see a little bit of loss on longer runs, so whatever. Vinny, if you're going to do this up in Dutchess County, then let me draw your attention to the wonders of the Rhone BX series towers. That's HBX, BX, HDBX, whatever. And with a top collar that's flat and a shelf inside, which I think they come with, if I remember right, jamming a piece of masting in the top, you can generate a more rigid structure. They're relatively lightweight. They are aluminum. Insulating it from the ground would not be terrible, as long as you guide the bejesus out of it. And, oh, shucks, you could load it. And you'd have a triangular, somewhat rigid structure for the first, let's say, 30-odd feet, and then just a mast for the top. So that would solve some of your, chores in construction.
No, that's a very good idea. I was thinking along the lines of some stuff I might have, whatever Rona I've got in the corner doing that. Overall, though, I guess at this point won't belabor it. You know, the idea of putting out radios more is better, I guess, as everyone says. Over.
Who are? As the Marines would say.
W2JK.
Don?
Yeah, I was listening to Vinny about the coax. You just can't run a piece of coax out to there and expect to do everything with the tuner in the shack, because there's an SWR boss on that coax, even though it's only a 4/10 of a dB at 3.8 megahertz to a terminated 50 on load. Once you start playing with an antenna that's reactive out there, you're going to have a lot more loss in that piece of coax. And especially if you got 500 watts, you might get a little warm. That's one comment. Another comment I have a thought of: with my roof-mounted ground plane, I have 8 radials on that. This is about 17 feet of aluminum tubing. But the one thought I have in building something like that is that you'll be able to reach the first joint, so to speak. In other words, the first piece of aluminum tubing is only about 6 feet off the above the roof where it meets with the second piece of aluminum tubing that goes up in the air. That way I can adjust it without having to take the whole thing down. I can stand on the roof, adjust the thing from there rather than have to try and reach up 10 feet or whatever. So it's a thought to keep in mind too. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, very good. Very good. Anybody else before we send it back to Mr. Vinny?
Comment, Mr. K.
Go ahead, Jim.
Another little thought is if you're using a vertical with ground radials, you can use way fewer elevated radials than you will need with buried radials. I think you can probably get away with 6 or 8. Quite nicely if they're elevated, but if they're buried, then the more the merrier, up into the 120 class.
Oh yes, absolutely. I like the elevated, the whole thing being elevated if possible, especially when there's a lot of obstructions in the way. I think good things happen when you get the things up, and Don alluded to it, you alluded to it. My J-pole plans are pretty much that along that same line, so I think we're all the same mind and having had similar experience. All right, KC2KXV from K2BAR.
KC2KXV. Hey, I want to thank everybody. A lot of good ideas and a lot of experience here. I really appreciate it, especially at the coax and the heat with a lot of reactants out there. That was one of my concerns, but it'll be fun to try something out. I built a cold water pipe 10 meter vertical on the ground that is 1-to-1 match, and it's really gorgeous, and I'd like to build something bigger, but not with aluminum, copper pipe, the regular copper stuff. It's heavy and you got a guy on the way up, but it's going to be a lot of fun, so I'll keep everybody apprised of progress as we put this together.
In the frozen north of Dutchess County. Okay. Very good. And Vinny, when you get a chance, shoot me an email on the other subject. That would be helpful. Alrighty. I have something, but I'll hold off on that, pending the numerous comments from N3CRT. Charlie?
We've already been over the one, the TechNet website. I'll just be kind of pushing that and hoping that I won't have to do the brunt of making notes. Maybe we can pass it off or if I'm not available or whatever. But I'm glad to sit here and do it and listen, try to follow along attentively. And my other one was, has anybody had any experience? This is kind of new, and the only person I know who has experience, I know has experience with it, is Jerry, N-O-C-U-T. I've been looking at the soft rock kit. There's a little kit that you can plug into your USB port, I think for power, and you feed the audio into a sound card, and if you get a higher quality sound card, you get a better bandwidth availability out of it. And now they're making transmit and receive. They're making a 1-watt unit for like a couple different of the HF bands. They're sold in modules, so like 2040, 4080, there's a 160, and so there's a, they're kind of a bunch of different ones. And I was wondering if anybody has had any experience playing around with those, and what kind of operations they did with them, and, you know, how did it work, how easy was it to do? And 3CRT.
And just for everybody's benefit, they support what modes?
Well, that's what I wanted to know. I know Jerry does, it'll do CW, it'll do RIDI. I'm wondering if it'll do, like, voice, you know, you process the audio in the, on the computer, you can do, gating, you know, customizing the audio. I'm wondering if that works on the soft rock, on the little kits, or if those are really for the narrow-banded, CW, RIDI, you know, stuff toward the bottom of the band. That's where I saw the soft rock, are the examples of the soft rock kits operating. I wonder if they are usable up further. So, I don't know. You know, I've just started to research this, just trying to probe out for some information. N3CRT.
W2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, our barrel member, Dave, NJ1W, has a, I think, yes, has a rig like that. I think he's used it on CW. I don't know what other modes they could be used for, but I do know he's had some experience with it, so you might talk to him about it, Charlie. Try that. W2JEK, back to net.
Is NJ1W still with us? This is KTBAR. Yeah, last, I don't see the product you're talking about. So that's an interesting question. Look at the SoftRock 40 hardware, but I don't see anything else. Let's see if there are other things. Nope. I'm not seeing anything more from them on that, but I will look around some more and see what we can find during the course of the net. Anybody else want to jump in here on this subject?
This is NJ1W.
Go for it. You're the man.
I'm sorry, I don't know what the question is. As I'm listening to this net, I'm also involved in a contest.
K2GCL repeater.
Charlie had a question about the transceiver version of the soft rock system, you know, the 1-watt transmitter. Do you know anything about that? And does it transmit and receive sideband, AM, things like that, FM? Or is it just the digital modes, including CW?
I only use it on CW. In fact, that's what I'm using right now in this contest. I'm a member of the team of, I'm with the designer of that is Tony Parks, and I'm on that team with him in a QRP Fox Hunt on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. So right now we're looking for a 5-watt station out in California, and there's one in Colorado. We're trying to find them on 40 meters. I only use it on CW. I know it does work with the Rocky program on PSK, because I can decode on PSK, and I'm pretty sure you can transmit also.